When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for May the 9th. What is it? Friday, isn't it? Yeah, you can tell it's a Friday. Very few RNSs get released on Friday. I think brokers or nomads or whatever companies take the day off, or they're given the advice that there's no point releasing news on Friday. People don't read it. What? They do. I think there's more chance now having good rallies on Fridays than any day of the week. It seems like all Wednesday, maybe Thursday, is the busy day. But come on, guys. It's a five-day week. The markets, soon it'll be 24 hours. 24 hours a day. It's 365 days a year, like crypto. I guarantee it. Is it me, or are the markets starting to come alive a bit? I'm sensing this. I'm just looking at the... Let's look at the markets, for example. Let's start off with the FTSE 100. I mean, that's been alive for a while. Let's be honest. It's had one of the best of all time rallies from the 10th and 9th, or a month ago, 9th of April. It was at 7,666. Now it's at 8,554. That includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 up days, 17 up days. That's unbelievable. Anyway, it's up a quarter of 1% day, 8554. FTSE, 250, it's up. It's rallying quite strongly. It's above the 200-day moving average now. It's that's had many, many up days as well. But it's up a quarter of 1% a day. FTSE small cap, it's, in fact, the FTSE 250 just above 200-day moving average. FTSE small cap is heading towards the 200-day moving average from, you know, underneath it. And come behind you. It's up, a fifth of 1% again. And the AIM All Share, up four-tenths of 1%. It is now touching the 200-day moving average. This is a good sign. So that means it's rallied 16% from the low, which was back a month ago. The last time it breached the 200-day moving average from below, where was this? It dipped below it in August and rallied a bit. But from a sell-off, I think we're on for a rally here. I really do. I think there's funds coming in. Interest rates are coming down slowly. There'll be some deals happening with Trump, which is they are mad. Essentially, I think once there's realization, the market will roll over a bit. But this worry, this uncertainty, slowly getting peeled back, I think. So that will help the markets. And of course, as I've always said, the biggest mover of the markets are interest rates. If they are coming down, which they seem to be, then the markets will be rallying. And it's about time. The AIM All Share, like I say, it's been the longest bear market ever. Ever. Which is phenomenal. And what you get from that, of course, if you believe in the tides and cyclicality, which I sort of do to a certain extent, you know, it's like the pendulum. You push a pendulum on a clock one way so far, it comes back the other way. And I think that's what's going to happen here. It's just the nature of life, isn't it? It's almost like, you know, sometimes you get a really warm, hot summer, the next summer isn't as good. Or the winter's bad, you know, that kind of thing. I'm probably talking absolute nonsense here, but I do believe that, especially when you suppress a market like this has been. We've had a, you know, and if you look at the top of the markets where AIM was, it started rolling over as soon as the interest rates started going up. And now we're having the opposite. Interest rates are coming down. So we're on that cycle of interest rate reduction, which is a very good thing. So I think we're in, listen, I'm always quite bullish. You've got to be quite bullish to invest in equities because there's always worry out there. There's always gloom out there, you know, things to worry about. And if you only invested when you saw no gloom, you would never invest. Or you'd be at the top of the market in a bubble. So the best times to invest is, you know, in good companies generally when there's doom and gloom. In fact, you know what? Investors of the Shape Pickers Investment Club, I have made a brand new investment and it's off the beaten track. It's not something I would normally invest in. It's not a microcap. It's more thematic. But I'll be sending out an email later on today so you can find out what that is. So it's a small position as yet, but I think it'll be a good long-term hold. Okay, commodities. Brent crude up 0.5%, $63.23. We got copper. It's up 1.27%. You know, I'm still not 100%. I'm still sort of knocking around 80-85%. This cough I've got, which has been with me. I don't know if you hear my wheeze. That's my chest. I've had an infection for a while, and I've been on antibiotics. But it's not knocked me for six last week. I think it was over a week ago where I was feeling really bad. But I'm starting to come around a bit. But it's hanging. It's like long COVID or something. I don't know how long COVID is. This is long chest infection. Gold, it's had a little bit of a pullback, but it's up today 1% to $3,341 an ounce. Where's copper? Sorry, the ton. I've always, by default, it goes to kilogram. It's up 10,280. I say it's mid-range for the year. The low was 8,800 and the high was 11,500 pretty much. Government bonds. The two-year is dipping again. Did rally yesterday. 3.8%, yeah, the two-year government yield. But it's coming back a little bit. Still below 4, which is good. 3.9. It's down 1% a day. The 10-year is up a fifth of 1% to 4.5. But, of course, slowly that will be coming down with interest rates, hopefully. The pound will buy you €1.17 and it'll buy you $1.32. Macro news. Trump hints tariffs on China may drop as talks set to begin. So they're going to be chatting in Switzerland, aren't they? And this is what the hint was. He said, well, you can't get any higher. It's 145, so we know it's coming down. There we are. So we'll see what happens there. But that, I think that'll move the markets. If there's any positivity, unless they have a big fallout, which I can't see them having a fallout really, because it's not like Trump and Xi. It's the guy's second or third in command chatting, so hopefully be a bit more sensible. But I'm sure Trump will give a steer saying we need to bring these down because, of course, at 145%, it's essentially an embargo. No one's going to be, you know, exporting or importing with those kind of tariff rates. Talking about the deal, and it seems now more details are coming out about this, you know, UK-US trade deal. And it isn't really a trade deal. A lot of the market is, you know, has not been included. I mean, yes, the good thing is tariffs on steel and aluminium have been removed, but there's a quota limit on how much they can import. No one knows what the quota limit is yet. Cars has come down from 25% to 10%. But, of course, there's a quota limit on that, 100,000 cars, I think, from the UK to the US. And apparently last year the UK imported 101,000. So anything above that gets 25%, I think. But it's still at 10%, you know? Now, UK tariffs on America were 5.1% average, apparently. This is according to Truth Social. Of course, it's anything with the word truth in it. but they were 5.1%. So anything could be exported to UK tariffs on American stuff. It's gone down to 1.8%. Now, stuff been imported into the US from UK was 3.4%. It's now gone up to 10%. So I'm thinking other countries are starting to worry about this. Because the reason why the UK-US trade deal didn't take very long is, first of all, that, you know, Keir Starmer did play a blinder diplomatically and got on well with Trump. But also, there was no real deficit as far as trade is concerned. So it wasn't a big problem. Now, Trump has problems with deficits, and hence why those, you know, made-up tariff numbers were based on deficits, not tariffs. So I don't think it's going to be as smooth for other countries. So even though you're seeing a bit of a rally and a bit of relief here, I think it's not going to be as smooth for other countries, because it seems like the lowest you get is 10%, which will increase massively. Because like I said, you know, that's what, 3.4% it was. It's got 10%. So how is that not going to affect, you know, prices, inflation, growth? It will, globally. So I don't know why this is a good thing, really. I mean, the thing is, there is some certainty, and it's probably saved some jobs over here, because it was, you know, unviable economically to export at a 25% or whatever level on steel and aluminium. But it's still going to affect the rest of, you know, the economy. So I don't see this as a positive at all. Not at all. One other bit of macro news. Britain increases wind farm incentives funding to $720 million. Britain has more than doubled funding available under a scheme seeking to spur investment in offshore wind projects to £544 million after higher than expected demand, the government said on Friday. The country has put offshore wind at the heart of its 2030 clean energy plan and hopes to boost capacity from around 15 gigawatts at present to 43 to 50 gigawatts by the end of the decade. Okay, let's look at some companies I've covered on the MacroCap database. In fact, there's only three I covered today, actually. Ocean Finance, no point covering that. The last time I covered them, I said they're a waste of time. And now they're having funding issues and all that stuff. So they've taken a massive hit. And that's the trouble in this environment. It's going to happen for a while, you know. We're not going to go back to zero interest rates. We may go back to, 2% maybe. But it's not going to be at the time it was, going from 2009 to 2021, when there's pretty much zero interest rates. And, you know, raising money was very easy. So companies who need to raise money are going to find it difficult for a long time. And that's why the MacroCap League doesn't feature any companies that are not profitable, because that's a major risk. And when you actually discover, when I looked into it, I talked about this in the book, I discovered when interest rates started going up, and a lot of the plays I had were loss-making, you know, story stocks, hope-high potential stocks, because they rode the wave of free money. When that started kicking in and started tanking, I started looking at real winners, you know, mid to long-term winners. I found the actual winners weren't these story stocks, many of them just pop and drop aggressively. They were profitable companies that are growing revenue and profits, and they're good value. So that's why now I'm looking for, and also 60% of these companies, the best performers, were sub 100 million market cap. So that's why I focus entirely on profitable companies now, just good business. It just makes sense, isn't it? They are quality businesses, the companies at the top of the MacroCap League. Anyway, so first and foremost, trading update, commencement of strategic review. This is Bellascura. They have a market cap now of 2 million, probably falling down a day, but waste of time. Don't bother with this. I mean, I made a comment on this on the 16th of April, and they still hold, and they do portable oxygen concentrators. And I say, using an analogy, incorporating their technology and assuming cash is oxygen, this company will need to be strapped to one of their portable oxygen concentrators for the foreseeable future. So, loss after loss after loss. And they're not. There's no forecastable profit in future, and they're stuck for money. It's a fatal situation, this company, Bellascura. Bell. Brave Bison. The news today is a response to press speculation. Ooh, speculation, speculation, speculation. I know, whenever I see these RNSs, I thought, what? I didn't see any speculation. What are you talking about? But they are thinking of acquiring Mini MBA from Centaur Media for an enterprise value of 19 million. This is an e-learning business for marketing professionals. They're going to pay basically with $5 million in cash from their balance sheet, a bank facility up to $10 million, a strategic investment of $4 million from Mini MBA founder Mark Ritson, who would become a top five shareholder in Brave Bison, and they're going to place some shares as well. Mini MBA generated net revenue of $10.7 million, growth of 5% year-on-year last year, 24. Expected to contribute a minimum of $3.5 million in adjusted EBITDA. Not a fan of that. Increasing the enlarged Brave Bison pro forma adjusted EBITDA by 78% to $8 million. So it's a transformational, I know that's word to use a lot, but it seems quite a significant acquisition here. And as yet, the numbers don't quite stack up for Brave. Well, they're doing well, but you know, I think under the stewardship of the Green Brothers, who I interviewed once, Ollie, I think it was, this company's worth keeping an eye on. They have ambition, and they're not standing around. So I do think it's worth, you know, putting them on your watch list, Brave Bison, BBSN. They've, you know, it's a tough market backdrop for them, but they've been quite resilient. But I do like what these guys are doing. They are significant holders of the company as well. So I just think it's worth keeping an eye on. Next, Physiomics, ignore. They've won another contract, $65 grand. What is the point? What is the point of this company? I did say on the comments here of my database, there's a lot of contenders for biggest waste of space on AIM, but PYC has to be in the top 10. Never made a profit. Growth is going backwards. Revenues are insignificant. The size of the contract wins are usually less than someone on a minimum wage. I think, what is the point? There's no point. There's only two realistic options for this company: delist or go into administration. There's no point being listed. You are literally announcing contracts which don't cover, you know, a fraction of the listing costs. Pointless. I'm going to go back to, I remember I didn't do a podcast for Wednesday because I was doing the webinar for the investment club. So I'll go back over a few of these. One Spatial had final results out. And essentially, One Spatial, by the way, it's a story stock. And I've heard a couple of brokers talk about this, but its market cap is around about 50 million. And they're doing 33 million in revenue, but they're still loss-making. They're making a 217K profit. That was down 79% from a million last year. And I'm thinking, I don't understand the valuation on this whatsoever. So next year, they expect to make a profit for tax of 200K. So down from 217K, that would put on a PE of 49,000. Even in 2027, they're going to be making apparently a profit of 2 million, which would put them on a PE of 27, which is not cheap. And you see how the share price has tanked. I can't see the value here at all. Like I say, it's been talked up by a broker quite a few times, and I've heard them say, but at the moment, as far as I'm concerned, it may have good tech, but the only validation I can see of this in any company is by generation of revenue and profits. Let's be honest, if you have the best tech in the world, you know, it'll get adopted and bought by clients. At the moment, I can't see this happening in One Spatial. Maybe it's too early, I don't know. But that, as I'm no expert in the field they're in, a global leader in providing location master data management software, I've no idea if their software is better than anyone else. All I can judge, judgment by this is, you know, revenue and profits. And as yet, the top line grew by 3%. Doesn't seem like a growth company here with, you know, world-class software. So to me, it's maybe watch, but the figures need to do talking. Numbers, not narrative. So that's One Spatial. B90 Holdings, waste of time. Don't worry about that. It's a 9 million market cap. Yes, revenue up by 16%, but they're still loss making 1.7, and they've got cash of 360K. They're basically going to need money, you know. And they do say they're going concern. The group may need to raise further funding, and I think they will need to, let's be honest. What's next? Cropper James, they are James Cropper, a market leading. A lot of companies are market leading, aren't they? According to their own, you know, sort of reports or own description of themselves. Advanced materials and paper products. 15 million market cap. Enterprise value, 30 million. That says everything you need to know. They got cash of 9 million, so debt of 24. Now, they did a top line. Was this a trading update? I think it was. Yeah, trading update. I don't know. Is this a great, good company? I mean, it looks like they're going to be improving slightly over the next couple of years. In fact, revenue is going to dip by 2% in 25 to 100 million. But they're going to make 1.2 million profit tax off that, which is obviously a 1.2% margin. So that kind of margin with that kind of debt, is it a good, great or exceptional business? No. I'm going to say avoid. What else is there? I've ordered the dates wrong here. Right, let's go back. What's next? CT Automotive. I did say, actually, this is it's rallied recently. I did, when I released this 2 days ago, I said this is cheap, you know, at the moment. Of course, there's lots of headwinds in the automotive market. But it was literally on a PE of less than 3. They found some support at 21 pence. But the forecast going forward could look okay. But I thought, how cheap can this get? Let's be honest. So they had a 16% drop in revenue from 107 million to 89. But the profit before tax went up by 26% from 4.4 to 5.6. They do have net debt of 4.6, but they also have, you know, free cash flow, profitable. And that debt can be chipped away at when they're a profitable company like that. So I said, this could have a rally. It's not one for me, because it's the backdrop of tariffs and automobiles and all that stuff. But it could have a decent rally. And do you know what? Since 2 days ago, it's gone from 24 pence up to 37 pence. AIM All Share is now over the 200-day moving average. Good news. Let's get back to the database here. CT Automotive. What's next? Hercules Site Services. What was the news there? Trading update. They're trading in line with market expectations. They are a 39 million market cap, a leading tech-enabled labour supply company for the UK. And in fact, they did have a bit of debt, but I think it's been removed now because they sold part of the business, which was very capital-intensive, but also loss-making, or not making much profit. So now they've got a healthy balance sheet. And I'm thinking, looking forward, they're going to do 112 million in revenue for 2025. That's up 10% on last year. And last year they did 27% growth on revenue. And they reckon profit before tax is going to increase by 47% to 3.3 million. This will put them on a PE of 13.5, and they pay a dividend of around about 3.5%. So I can see this, you know, it's got growth, it's got value, it pays dividend. And I think with infrastructure projects, getting a boost from this Labour government could do quite well. So maybe one worth watching. Nahl Group, just ignore that. Can't be bothered to see, lead it in consumer legal services. But they got debt of 7 million. And going forward, they do see a bit of a bit of an uplift year. Revenue's going to be flat for 25, pretty much. But they expect to now go from, there was a goodwill write-off. So there's a loss before tax of 39 million for 24, but they expect to see an adjusted profit of 5.1 for 2025. That would put them on a PE of 8. So if you're into that, worth a look, but I'm not really. Yeah, ambulance chasers. Shearwater Group. Yes, they want a contract. They offer solutions to help businesses manage the interaction between technology, process, and people so they can remain operationally resilient. They have a market cap of 8.4 million, enterprise value of 3.4. So they've got about, you know, 5 million in cash. For the half year to 30th of September, revenue up by 8% to 11.3 million, but pre-tax loss increased by 50% to 2.1. They had net cash then of 3 million. So they've gone from 3 million of, from 5 million in net cash to 3 million. So obviously they're losing the cash there. This was a new contract, $4.4 million contract, was between Brook Court Solutions, a Shearwater Group company, a provider of enterprise IT and cybersecurity services. So look in the forecast here. Oh, is this cheap? So they're expecting to make a loss for this year of $2.4 million. So on $39 million revenue. So revenue's going to go up by 72%. But they're still going to make a loss. And the year after, a loss again, unless they win some contracts. So I'm just thinking, no. There's no growth in profits there. There's improvement, but no growth, really. Synectics, AGM statement, it fell on this. I can believe this. They're a cracking company, Synectics. Of course, they are in the microcap league. I don't say where they are, but they're at the top end, and they have been for a while. Market cap, 51 million. Enterprise value, 42. Their cash generation last year was excellent. Literally, they generated 6.5 million of free cash flow, up from 1.6. That's a 302% increase. Top line grew by 14%. Profit before tax grew by 57%. And they're going to continue to grow profit before tax by 27% next year. And they're only on a PE of 12. It's a good company worth looking at. So that's all I'm going to say. Synectics, high quality company. What's next? Two more, that's it. Tasty. Now, this should be a write-off, really. But oddly, I see a trade in this, if you're a trader. Why do I say that? Because they've got a market cap of 1.2 million, enterprise value of minus 2 million. That means you've got 3 million of cash. So you've got 3 million of cash, market cap is 1.2. Tasty and a subsidiary trading company, Takeus Long Time Limited, or Takeus Long Time Limited. They do, what have they got? Company is currently trading. They've got two branches, Dim Tea, Dim Sum, and Wildwood Restaurants. Now, they've shut a lot of restaurants. I think about 16. So they've got a pre-tax profit last year of 16 million. But this is more an accounting procedure because they've given up about 16 leases. So while there was going to be a loss, it's now not going to be a loss. So it's not actual cash. Nevertheless, they have free cash flow, 1.9. All right. They expect to make a loss next year. So they did 36 million for 2024. And they're going to do 32 million for next year, of course, reflecting the lack of the less restaurants they have, and a loss of 800K. But they've got 3 million in cash. And there's no forecast for 25, but if they can turn this around for 26, I think this could be a good punt. And like I said, it's only 1.2 million market cap. I'm not into punts. And do you know what? Most punts, I used to be. Most punts, of course, are odds against bets that don't play out. So it's always a risky thing. So I'm just typing something here. But I think if they show any signs of improvement, I think a good rally. Because, like I said, just the size of the market cap. And finally, avoid this company. It's another eatery. It's called Various Eateries, VAR, V-A-R-E. They do two core brands across 20 locations, Copa Club, a multi-use all-day concept that combines restaurants, terrace cafe, lounge, bar and workspaces, and Noki, a modern pasta-led concept which serves very high-quality dishes at reasonable prices. Now, they've got a market cap of 23 million, enterprise value of 48. I was reading their statement. I don't understand. So they're going to do, listen to this. They did 49 million in revenue, or 50 million, say, for 24, made 3.3 million in loss. Next year, they're going to do 50 million in revenue, right? Which has gone up a little bit, 2%. And the loss increased to 4.1 million. In 2026, they're going to do 54 million in revenue, and the loss increases to 5.1. I thought, what? You've got no cash. Now, I looked at them and got no cash. I was reading. These are my comments on the database. I read the broker note and thought they were talking about a different company. Unlike the brokers, I can't see any positives in this trading update or the last and final results. It seems the company also sees things differently. I have their net debt at their last and results at 24 million, whereas they state they have net cash at 2.7. So if you work it out, they have bank borrowings of 30.56 million and cash of 5.83. That's net debt at 24.7. They even give the definition of net debt, which I know anyway, but they reassured people. And they think, what figures are you looking at? Anyway, they are forecast to grow revenue at low single digits, and their loss is increasing from minus 4.1 million to minus 5.1 million in 26. I can't see how this company can carry on at this level of underperformance or cash burn. Ignore. And in fact, I've been to Copa. It's a nice restaurant. We went there, I think, over Christmas, or Christmas before last in Cardiff. Very nice, but that is not a viable business model. And please, relook at your debt. You're not a net cash position. You're net debt. Unless I'm seeing something wrong here. But, you know, for every other company I calculate on my website net debt for, it's accurate, apart from various eateries. So I can't say I'm wrong on this one company. Anyway, that's it. Have a nice weekend. Hope you have a cracker. Remember, you've only got one life. I don't know, I watched an excellent interview, actually, with Chris Eubank Jr. and Stephen Bartlett. And I'd highly recommend that. I literally, while I was doing work, I had that in the background for an hour and something. And it was very insightful. And he says a lot of things there which is true about, you know, his brother dying. His brother was very healthy, apparently. He used to do these green, fresh juices for himself every day. And he went swimming and had a heart condition. And died. And so he said, you know, it wasn't like an accident or anything. It just happened. And no one knew about it. So it's one of the things, isn't it? You never know. None of us have any contracts saying, this is when you live to. You only have one life. We don't know how long it'll be. So even if you go out and have a nice, you know, one day or a couple of hours this weekend, and forget about everything else, because everything in life is temporary. Everything. Nothing is forever. So if you can find a bit of enjoyment here or there, you know, you're not harming anyone else, that's all you need to do. And if you can share that enjoyment with somebody else, even better, like, you know, with your wife, your partner, your husband, whatever, or your dog, whatever. That's it. That's the answer to life, ladies and gentlemen. Just find, sometimes it's hard to enjoy it, isn't it, life? You're worrying, but finding happiness there, just thinking, just the simple things in life, to go have, share a meal, have a drink, whatever. That is the answer to life. And he said something, actually, that I think about quite a lot. You know, you feel guilty sometimes when you see horrible situations, like in the Middle East, you know, people are suffering, children are suffering. And I try to explain to my kids all the time. They waste food or something, and I'll say, don't do that. There are people in the world who would love to have that food or whatever, you know, and they say, well, they can have it. It annoys the hell out of me. But it's almost sometimes as well, when it comes to work or being the best person you can, you know, try and be the best person you can. You have one life, and there are people in this world who give their arms and legs to be where we are. So they would struggle to be here. You know, things we take for granted. Even now, listen to a podcast. If you have the time to listen to a podcast, you're living a good life, pretty much. You have the internet. Be surprised how many people don't. We take it for granted. Even down to things like running water, being able to turn that electricity on, stuff like that. Because, you know, have a disposable income, all that sort of stuff, we sort of take for granted. So why we have to sort of try and make the best person or version of ourselves we can is because the people who would love to be in our positions, if they were given the chance to be in our positions, they would make the very best of it. So it's almost like saying, yes, enjoy yourself, take time out, but also another part of life, I suppose, is to try and do the best you can in anything you do, because, you know, like I said, we only have one life. I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm a bit delusional or a bit, giddy on the drugs I've been taking, the antibiotics, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, the sun is shining. I'm going to go out, walk the dog, and then maybe have a couple of drinks tonight. Who knows? Have a nice weekend, everyone. Speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.